You are listening to the Ice House Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Ice House Podcast. My name is Briar. I'm the community manager here at the Ice House, and we get to have some fun conversations with our alumni, with incredible business owners, business leaders across New Zealand about their journey. And today is no different. I've got Tom Dorman on the podcast. He was part of the Owner Manager Program 42, which was in 2017. Time goes fast. He is the co-founder of Tom and Luke, a well-known Kiwi company. And he's also a holistic business coach and consultant. So lots of wisdom, lots of learning that I'm looking forward to being part of today. So thanks for your time today, Tom. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Awesome. So we'll jump into it. No worries. We'll jump into it. I'd like to start with some quick fire just to get things warmed up. So first things first, when are you most relaxed?
Oh, I've got a 5-month-old baby, so like never at the moment. But yeah, probably mostly when I'm meditating.
Awesome. I love that honest answer. When are you most productive on the other side of that?
Again, I've got a 5-month-old baby, so never. But no, when I'm sort of out and I've got some time to myself, my scheduled work hours.
What does a day in the life of Tom look like now?
Okay, well, sort of starts anywhere between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m, just depending on what time my baby boy wakes up. But yeah, there's sort of looking after the baby sort of first thing in the morning. And then, yeah, again, kind of more sort of babysitting, and then sort of elements of work ducked in during his nap times and feed times. And then sort of towards the end of the week is when I've got my, I work down at my holistic health clinic down community down here at a local gym. So that's sort of when I'm more one-on-one with my my gym clients.
Awesome.
It's been a long time since I've picked up my book, but generally speaking, I try to kind of get some reading in, try to get some exercise in. But yeah, as probably most of the parents out there will understand, in this phase, it's all just kind of get it when you can and kind of prioritizing sort of on the fly what needs to be done that day.
Totally. I'm sure that's very relatable to many people with kids listening or watching, for sure. When you do have a moment to pick up the book, what would it be? What's the book of choice or a podcast that you recommend?
Book of choice. I'm currently reading Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. It's a bit of a reread. But yeah, that's always a good one. A podcast as well. Look, I mean, I'm a fan of the mainstream ones, I suppose. Like Joe Rogan's always a bit of a good time, just for, you know, sort of a bit of a good discourse. But actually, funnily enough, I'm a big fan of Matthew Walker. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he wrote a book. He's a neurologist and he's based in California, and he wrote a book called Why We Sleep, which is a must read book, I think, for any kind of business owner out there as well. But he's actually just started the podcast too, so I found that on Spotify and that popped up, and they're short and sweet, so good for when you're in the car kind of going to a meeting, sort of I think they're all under 10 or 15 minutes, but just good little snippets about sleep, so, and how the mind works and the importance of it. So yeah, I do recommend that.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's so cool to hear. In fact, it's funny how this happens. You're the second person within a week to recommend Why We Sleep. So it must be really good, and obviously something that business owners and leaders would gain a lot from. So yeah, thanks for that practical recommendation. And then the last of the quick fire, what excites you the most about 2023, about the year ahead?
Oh, my baby boy is starting to get some solids into his body, so that, you know, we can have a little bit more time in between feeds.
Yes.
And actually got to get a little bit spend a little bit more time outside of the house. It would be good. Yeah.
Good call. I love it. I would love to open with this, real open question, I guess, which gives us understanding to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Tom and what are you really passionate about? Obviously family for starters, but I'll let you answer.
Who am I? Well, yeah, look, I'm Tom. I'm born and raised in Wellington, went to a public school, jumped out of school, jumped into hospitality. I've pretty much been self-employed since leaving school. I went to university for 1 year, and I guess that style of learning didn't really gel with me, or maybe I was too young for it at the time. I don't know. Or maybe because I'd already done hospitality and gotten into work, I kind of had a bit of a taste of the real world. So maybe that's part of the reason why it wasn't really for me. I'm also a musician. So, I've had a band, been in bands, been in the entertainment industry. And then from there, I don't know if it's a dark night of the soul. Definitely had that a couple of years ago. But I don't know, in my early 20s, there kind of came a point where I was standing on the door of a nightclub that I was working at. And I kind of just sat there and thought, like, you know, is this where I want to be in 10 years, 20 years? Sort of working for an hourly rate late at night. And I guess kind of at that point, I had this understanding that, like, well, if I'm not playing music, or if I'm not working, then typically I'll be at the gym. So that's when I jumped out of that, and I decided to go and study to become a personal trainer. And then, so from becoming a personal trainer, then I got a job at Les Mills. And then through my curiosity, I guess sort of the natural curiosity in terms of how things work, and just wanted to become a better PT and run a better business, I started working quite closely with the physiotherapists that were based out of the gym. And then they got me onto some more upskilling practices, namely through the Czech Institute, which was founded by a guy called Paul Czech, which some of your viewers might know. I guess kind of through there, I became a Czech practitioner. And then that's kind of what led into Tom and Luke, just in terms of, like, understanding, you know, the results aren't, you don't get results at the gym. In terms of the people that I was dealing with, I was working really closely with mums, working closely with CEOs and execs, and other business owners as well. So people that are really time poor, but wanting them to get the results, but then kind of actually, like, I'm only seeing them for maybe, some of them I'd see a couple of times a week at the gym, but, you know, it's really one session a week, and then maybe they'd get another session in because they're also, like I say, quite time poor. So then it's about, well, how do we actually support the people, you know, outside of the gym? And that's where Tom and Luke was born out of, mainly for me, because I wanted a high protein snack that I could have on the go in between my clients, and Luke managed the cafe over the road from the gym that I worked at. So we sort of formed a bit of a bond, and I you know, over the years we'd done that and became, you know, good friends, I guess. Then I kind of came to him and just said, look, like, this is the target market for a protein bar, and here's kind of some upskilling that I'm doing in nutrition and holistic health, and here's something that I think might work. And sure enough, it did. So you know, we sort of started trialing some products at his cafe, and then, you know, mainly again just trial and error by me tasting things and him tasting things, and then sort of sharing it with my colleagues at the gym, and then also my clients. And then eventually, next thing you know, it became a bit of a staple at the cafe, like in terms of a, you know, it was available at the in the cabinet there, sort of on the regular. And then fortunately, like, one of my clients, because I was quite specialized in core and posture. So one of my clients that I was seeing, he was also a business owner. He'd been in the food service industry for about 25 odd years prior to meeting me, or maybe even 30 years prior to meeting me. And, you know, he and I were having conversations about, you know, I guess sort of the state of the world. This is going back, you know, we're talking 12 years, it would have been maybe 26, I think, at the time, by the time this conversation would have been had. Kind of talking to him about this product, and then he got quite excited about it as far as this is something new, it's different. You know, and he understood the philosophy, and obviously because I've been training him for a few months and he'd started seeing really good results, he really understood the importance of this sort of this holistic approach to exercise. Not just let's go in and just smash it because we can, we've only got half an hour and let's just go hard to do everything. It's actually, that's for most people, that's actually the worst thing you could do. If you're already in a stressful environment, then kind of adding more physical stress is only going to add more stress. And it might feel like it's doing something, like it's venting something, but actually it's compounding into the body. So anyway, like he kind of got that, understood that philosophy. And then when I introduced him to the product that Luke and I had made, his initial thought was like, what do you want me to do with that? And I said, well, eat it. It was this sort of green protein bar covered with some chocolate. And you know, he ate it and thought, yeah, it was quite different. So that's sort of where I guess sort of the for me, in terms of what I'm doing and what sort of drives me and pushes me, a lot of it's to do with, I guess, sort of, yeah, the problem solving, but also health. That's and that future thinking, as far as like, okay, well, like, where are we going to be next, and what's happening? This is where we are now, but where are we going next? So as far as like that drive and what's really passion, it's health, man. They're like it's sort of at the forefront of most of the things that I do, and personal health definitely, having a newborn baby takes a big back seat, as far as like, you know, getting your sleep, you know, but you know, doing all the other things around that. So
Very cool.
But then now, that's because since taking a step back from Tom and Luke, I've now been able to get back and start my coaching clinic down here at our local gym in Stokes Valley. It's called Pelvic Pro. And so again, they're just more dealing with mums, focusing on postnatal exercise and health and wellness. And again, kind of looking at the holistic approach and kind of going, okay, well, look, mums, like, you know, let's not just obviously sort of feel bad about what's going to happen. We need to understand and respect the body. Rebuild, reconnect, and kind of start with those new foundations and stuff. So yeah, I mean, there's a long spiel, but the main things, yeah, it's really around the holistic health stuff, which again is something that we do with business clients, as far as, again, talking to just coaching people through ideas and kind of looking at, well, maybe this little thing that you're looking at isn't the problem, but what else could be attributing to it, and kind of where can we go. So yeah.
I love that. I love the alignment between, you know, you said, you know, right back at your gym where it was working with mums and business owners and entrepreneurs and all these different people, and how important health, wellness, and the holistic view is for different types of people at in different seasons of their life, right? So yeah, it's really interesting, and how being a holistic business coach can, yeah, just so easily align with different people at different seasons in their life. And I love how that led to then Tom and Luke, which is just the easiest snack that people can take on the run. So yeah, I love it. You see mum, you got the mums of the hand, dad's got it in their hand, business owners running to another meeting. It makes a whole lot of sense hearing the backstory behind it. What was a key learning from that experience of growing Tom and Luke from a cafe, classic grassroots Kiwi story, to where it became? Any key learnings and maybe advice for that younger self, that 26-year-old self?
Yeah. Oh, look, I think we kind of did it as best we could. We definitely did the grassroots stuff. You know, I mean, Richard, our other business partner, he was. I guess we took a bit of an old school approach in terms of, we wanted to ensure that we had control over everything and all the processes. So one of the things that we took pride in was our distribution network. So for a lot of people probably listening to this, sort of understanding the distribution network and how you get your product from, you know, obviously production through to your customers' hands. For us, it was about, if we can manage the distribution ourselves and form the relationships ourselves, that I think definitely something that built for the first sort of 5 or 6 years, I think actually sort of 7 years, we really kind of focused on that, and having independent contractors across the country that, you know, were relatable and were essentially the face of the brand. So they'd be dealing with their obviously customers, which are the retail outlets. And then, so that's sort of where that, that's the first step of, that customer service journey. So there's a direct person that somebody can talk to. It's not like, you know, we're just handing it off to a courier company and don't get me wrong, the business has definitely transitioned to that now just because of our size and our volume. And so we've had to, we'll have some of those independent contractors around the place, but, you know, for the most part, and then especially now sort of moving with obviously into the DCs and stuff with the likes of Foodstuffs and Countdown, you know, then that's sort of another story. But yeah, definitely in those beginning stages, I think kind of that was a really good learning in terms of just the power of connection and the power of conversation, because we'd be able to go in and show up as us, and having that one-on-one. And I do recall like a conversation that we had with one of our first retailers in Wellington, which was Common Sense Organics. They're an organic supermarket store down here in Wellington, and they were one of the first, sort of the bigger retailers that we had. And I remember talking to one of the managers there, and she essentially said this to us. You know, she said exactly that. She was like, you know, you guys coming in, there's a big journey ahead of you with sort of the way that this is doing, you guys are doing. Because we were in there with, you know, because we were able to have those conversations, we were able to get in there and do more sampling because people knew us. You know, it's not a box being dropped off by a courier. We're coming in and then we're saying, hey, how's the product going? We're going in there and we're doing, you know, some fronting on the shelves and all that sort of stuff, making sure the stock's rotated, doing all that thing. So really being able to take care of that side kind of built that rapport a lot better.
Yeah.
So and that was all part, and this is one of the things that I tell my clients or some of my mentees through business mentors is sort of really growing and developing that hustle muscle. You know, because it's not just about how hard you're working. You know, you can work hard, and we've all done this. I mean, when we started Tom and Luke, I stopped personal training and went into that, I mean, we were working, you know, 10, sometimes we'd be working sort of 16, 18 hour days just to get things done, you know, like wow. You'd be out doing your distribution and then we'd be back in the factory and making products to try to keep up with the orders and all that sort of stuff. So there's that area of hustle, but it's also the hustle in terms of just, you know, making sure you're building those connections and having that, you know, that discourse, just getting to know your customer and just being there and just and showing passion and pride in your product and that you want your product to succeed. And that you want it to succeed with their store and you want their store to succeed as well. It's, you know, which is that that's just kind of a love sharing of the love that kind of keeps going down and spiraling up. But, you know, in saying that, and then, like I said, you know, eventually you do kind of, we did get to that point where it became quite big for that. So I wouldn't say we've lost it. I think that's just, I think our, where the brand is now is really due to a lot of that grassroots stuff that we did for the first sort of, yeah, like I said, sort of 5 to 8 years.
Totally. Yeah. It's exactly what you're saying is that idea of building community around a brand, right? Building that sense of community with your suppliers, with your customers, with your team, around that common purpose and passion for seeing people have that holistic health. That's definitely your passion's definitely coming across, which is awesome. But I can so tell that obviously, like you're saying, building community around it was a really big key to the success and probably why you were so passionate about doing it in the first place. Like that.
Yeah, I want to say as well, like this is also kind of, believe it or not, this is also before Instagram, or I think Instagram was maybe sort of started coming here in New Zealand, maybe when we were in our sort of second, maybe third year. So we were, which is really weird when you think about it, like it's hard to
build
the world without Instagram, but just, you know, when you say the word building community, it's like, you know, most people are using that the digital software to do that, but I think you know, it's far better if you've got the personal touch, and it's showing up into stores doing, if you've got a food-based product, definitely doing tastings, just getting samples out there into people's, getting people tasting it, even if they don't like it, you know, at least they're learning your name, you're having a conversation with them, and then they've got an opinion about you either way, and then they can tell somebody else. I think that even coming from a, you know, from a personal trainer's point of view, or from a you know, service-based industry rather than a product, you know, referrals and word of mouth is much bigger and much better for your business than just sort of having something online or something that people can kind of read over, but actually having somebody that's had a tangible experience with you is definitely a good thing. So
so important. For sure, great learnings, great advice. You did the owner manager program, like we said, in 2017, while you were working on Tom and Luke at the time. What were any key takeaways from that program, maybe things you implemented or even just the feel of being on program with other business owners?
Like, I think cash flow is king was definitely I think in the financial day. Like I said, like I've forgotten so much of it. Like so much has happened since then.
Totally.
I can remember these things and just kind of, you know, cash flow is king being like one of the, I guess when that kind of, or you know, the idea that, you know, cash to the business is like oxygen, you know, and when your oxygen supply is cut off, you die. you know, that really sat with me, especially again, kind of harking back to that holistic health kind of side of things. It's like, you totally get that. I mean, how long can you hold your breath for, you know, before you start to struggle, right? So understanding kind of like, okay, we need to be getting out. What can we do to improve our cash flow was a big thing. So how can we, and for us, you know, man, I mean, we weren't a big company at the time. We weren't kind of a big business, but we had a lot of customers because of the way that we were doing our distribution. So we were still, Tom and Luke head office was still looking after all of our clients nationwide. So then it kind of became, okay, well, as far as cash flow and all that sort of stuff, if you've got, you know, people in arrears and you've got a list of, you know, I don't know, 3,000 to 5,000 retailers or suppliers or stockists, and some of them might not even be front end people, but just maybe I know we had, you know, even schools and other little like community groups that we were direct supplying wholesale. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, some of the distributors were direct supplying wholesale. You know, it's like, as a business, you don't want to be chasing them up all the time. So how can we streamline that a little bit more? So then that was one kind of step where we went, all right, well, maybe let's start looking at actually each owner operator distributor needs to look after their community. So then that way we're only working with this. So we're kind of starting to reduce, you know, not only some of the, I guess sort of those potential losses, but the chasing up. But it also just, it means that cash flow is only kind of reliant on one person, or, you know, minimizing out the Tom and Luke head office customer base. So that was a big kind of takeaway. But then of course it expands again when you start going international and
true.
You've got to have new systems in place, and the business obviously constantly keeps evolving. I think also, like, even on that first day, like the first couple of days, it's been a while since I've been on, so I don't know if the sort of the format's changed, but I remember the first couple of days, just as far as the marketing stuff was concerned as well, like in terms of really honing in on our target market. That was one of the things we did in the first couple of days on that owner managed program. And I remember kind of going in thinking, oh yeah, we're Tom and Luke, like we're really successful. We know what we're doing. We know our target market, you know, our target customer is, you know, kids from the ages of 5 to 95. And people of all genders, people of all races, religions, whatever, you know it. That's our target market. We're something for everyone. And then kind of really learning in that how, like, silly that is. And I guess one of the things was like the bell curve, when the bell curve was presented to us in terms of like really honing in on who is the one person that you want buying your product. Mm. And then they're at the top of this sort of this bell. And then everybody else underneath will just kind of gradually kind of come in. But if you can really kind of pinpoint your marketing to that one person that you're looking for, you know, and sort of since learning that and since understanding that, that's something that I've definitely taken away and put into like everything else that I've done or started as well. Like it's a really, you can't be everything to everybody, but you can be something to somebody.
Yes. Great. I like that. You can't be everything to everybody. Out of interest, who did you land on as that top tier, this is who we want to sell to?
Oh, see, now you're getting me. So we actually ended up doing four.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah,
so so this was a couple of years now. We're talking now we've got you know, social media is there, we've got Instagram, so now we've got sort of the different people that we're speaking to when we're doing our marketing. So, you know, we had the university student who was, you know, sort of second or third year, they were working. But they're, you know, they're a bit more involved in their studies. You know, so, but they're also, because they're working, they've got, you know, more sort of research or thesis to do and all that sort of, again, I didn't go to university, so I'm aware of sort of how that works. But, you know, there'd be that person or that pillar that we'd talk to. Then there'd be the mum who, you know, was sort of the 30 to 35 year old mum, stay at home mum with some disposable income, who's, you know, looking after the kids, busy rushing around. And then we also had the sort of the weekend warrior. This was kind of one of the males, the weekend warrior, sort of the 45 to 50 CEO type who wants to, you know, on the weekends, wants to be healthy, maybe goes, plays golf, jumps on his bike, you know, cycles around Herne Bay in Auckland kind of thing. And then I can't remember who the fourth pillar was, to be honest, but
yeah,
that kind of helped us really kind of at the time. Again, this is going back probably about another, at least sort of 5 or 6 years ago now. You know, that definitely kind of helped us kind of get a little bit more clear on how we're presenting things. And then, you know, and then kind of from there, then you're able to, then we're actually able to start developing products for that particular person. So, you know, we sort of came up with a bunch of innovation. Not all of it worked, not all of it stuck. Yeah. But, you know, one of the products that has sort of stuck in recent years as well is more sort of the collaboration we've done with Dose & Co. And obviously sort of with mums and with that sort of target. I mean, we're still getting messages. I'm getting messages. My clients sort of use, who are breastfeeding mums and that sort of thing, you know, they love that product because it's got the collagen in there. Yeah. You know, and they're, you know, obviously sort of breastfeeding, so they need their energy, need those extra calories and stuff in there too. So, you know, that was sort of one of those ones that really did sort of hit home and work.
Brilliant examples. And yeah, so great to hone into those different targets. And yeah, cool to see the example in Dose & Co. as well, which is very popular. Going back a bit, how did you hear of the Ice House in the first place?
How did I hear of the Ice House? I think I got a phone call.
Oh yeah?
I think one of the sales team called me up.
Cool.
And I think initially I got excited. Because sort of when I looked at what the Ice House did in terms of the investors sort of side of things, like, or the angel investors side of things, I remember kind of getting a bit excited and kind of going, oh, we've been checked out by people that kind of know more about things than we do. Sorry, not we, I shouldn't say we, but definitely know more than I did. You know, so, you know, but then, yeah, kind of getting, I guess, sort of talked around to it. And then, but then, yeah, also understanding the benefit of it. And then going away and having the conversation with Richard and with Luke, just sort of around, okay, well, this is, here's some key learnings. And then I think as well, I can't remember if we did or not. Again, this is quite a while ago, but I remember we were discussing whether or not to put one of our production managers on the course as well. You know, as a, you know, with Tom and Luke, one of the things that we sort of did sort of set up and want to do is just make sure that we're, you know, upskilling and training our staff. One of the things that I'm kind of passionate about is sending the elevator back down. But you know, I think there was another program, not the owner manager program, but
leadership development. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that we did send them on it. Again, my memory is a little bit hazy on that. But I definitely recall there being some thorough discussion about it, just because of, you know, me coming back and being quite excited and sort of opening up. It was sort of like you go in as this, I don't know, young Padawan Jedi wannabe, and then you come out on the other side as being this, whoa, I can sort of see things, you know, as they are, and then kind of want to share that with everybody. So yeah.
Yeah, very cool. And yeah, very common for owners to come back and go, okay, I'm excited. I want to talk to my team about this. I want to, you know, be talking on the same language and same page, and I want other people to get it. And then putting one of their key leaders on a leadership development program is quite a common sort of next step when that's the feeling. But yeah, very cool to hear, and cool to hear those specific examples of takeaways, even though it was, you know, years ago. I always love hearing, you know, the things that stick, that's for sure. I want to change gears a little bit to what life looks like now. And now you are a holistic business coach and consultant. You're supporting Kiwi entrepreneurs to thrive in their business without the burnout. Which is massive, and that's why I kind of want to do a deep dive into that topic. I can tell you're passionate about it, so let's do it. Let's deep dive. And to start with it, we talked about this word already quite a lot, holistic. What does holistic health mean to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really kind of understanding the pillars of health as it comes to mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. I think kind of when it comes to health, 9 times out of 10, we tend to lean heavily onto that physical, and then within the physical we go, okay, well, what's our cardiovascular fitness like, what's our you know, what foods are we eating? And so it's more kind of like the here and now versus actually also thinking about, well, hang on, what makes you happy? Like if you're not happy, no wonder you're physical health is suffering. No wonder you're, you know, feeling depressed. No wonder you're feeling pressure and feeling stressed, because you're not actually in a state of alignment that's here with your, essentially with your purpose, or with your passion, you know, to kind of even put it in that respect. So in terms of looking at that holistic nature, it's kind of going, okay, like I even kind of described this to somebody the other day as well. It's like when you're in the war, you know, I don't know if people have recently watched that, All Quiet on the Western Front. I tried reading that as a teenager, but I think I was too young reading it as a teenager, but the movie on Netflix was really good. You know, it describes sort of those guys, the German kids at the First World War going out to the French lines. And, you know, it's kind of like when you're in the trenches, when you're there in it, it's, you know, and you're coming up to look up and you can't look up because you might get shot in the head by a sniper that's coming out, right? So you get fearful and you just start imagining all these things that are out here. But then there's the people that are higher up or kind of further away that can actually see the bigger picture and can understand what's going on. They're not the people that are in the war. So, you know, or sorry, not in the battle. So in terms of that holistic perspective, it's kind of going, hey, look, you might be in this one battle or you might be struggling with this one issue, but actually let's take a look at the big picture and let's pull you out of that. Let's get you out of that zone so that we can actually kind of get a clear head and a clear perspective on, you know, this might be the issue for today, but actually what's been the lead, what's led into it, what's the why behind it, but also like why are you focusing your stress and your energy on it, when is there actually something positive that you could be focusing on, that you could be, you know, sort of leaning into that might actually inadvertently solve that problem. You know, so and then the other thing as well with the holistic side of it in terms of the business coaching, you know, it's understanding that, you know, as a business coach, typically you're there to help people get through issues with the business. But actually, like if you're an owner operator, or even, you know, obviously an entrepreneur, or even, you know, a CEO that's got a lot of skin in the game, you know, you're not necessarily, you know, maybe you're separating yourself or even your family life from some of those day-to-day issues, but it's very hard to, you know, sort of actively do that, because as the Terminator said, you know, we're cybernetic beings. So we're all a system of systems. So within our systems, you know, we've got our circulatory system, we've got our respiratory system, you know, our digestive system, and these things all need to work together and be in good health for us to be a good physical being. But just in that same way, you know, as a person, we've got our friends and family, we've got our, you know, relationships with our children, we've got our relationships with our spiritual connection, whether that be, you know, in your church or, you know, whatever belief sort of system you've got with that. You've got your own hobbies and interests outside of your work. But then for many CEOs or business owners, maybe they don't have any of that because all of their energy is just in this business and building this thing up. So then it's about going, well, actually, man, maybe we need to, you know, get you, you just need a holiday for a moment and just take a break for a moment, because all of this is kind of bound up in this energy. You know, so that holistic approach just needs to kind of really meet the client where they're at and just kind of really get to understand the person as a whole, obviously as a whole singular being, but also where do they sit in with their community? Where do they sit in with the business? You know, and then, you know, just kind of building things in from there and just creating that different perspective and kind of broadening the horizon a little bit, pulling them out of the battle so that they can kind of see what's going on from that higher level.
That's awesome. Like the bird's eye view, working on the business and having that perspective, looking on the business, not sort of in it, and you know, worrying about those little details. And you're so right, sometimes business owners and leaders need that external support to be able to ask those big questions, like what does success even look like for me, and am I even happy? Questions that sometimes when we're in the detail don't come to mind, or we sort of just sort of skip past quite quickly. So yeah, so much value in that for sure. Is this something you always knew you wanted to do? You know, you've obviously got background in holistic health and, you know, exercise and gymming, and it's always been important to you, but is this something you always knew you wanted to do?
No, it's not. I always wanted to be, I think as a kid growing up, I always wanted to be an actor. That was kind of my thing. When I was a teenager, I sort of, like, I got given a guitar when I was 12, but I didn't really start playing it until I was about 15. But even from that, it was, you know, just like I wanted to just entertain and play music and write music. I love doing that. I'm very passionate about that. But I do, unfortunately, my dad, when I was sort of 16 or 17, I just remember I've got him clearly in my head just sort of saying to me, like, you need to have a plan B, you know, like, this is all great stuff, but you're not actually that great. And there's plenty of other people out there that are better than you. So you need to have a plan B. And then, so I think kind of what that triggered and what that triggered in, you know, was kind of this idea of, okay, well, actually, like, let's make sure that we've got a plan B. So then even if we fail at this plan A, you know, then we've kind of, we've got that sense of, I guess, of that financial security, or even, you know, just the ability to be financially secure, to be able to do kind of essentially whatever you want when you want. But at the same time, like, what that led down to was that led down a path of focusing on the plan B. So the music's always been there. My band and I, we released a couple of songs on Spotify a couple of years ago, just before lockdown. And, or actually, no, it was during lockdown that we launched them, we released them. But, you know, it's yeah, I think kind of where I'm at now is more, you know, when you look back on your life and you kind of go, okay, well, this has led to this and led to this. You know, one of the things that I've always said is about having, I've genuinely had a very serendipitous life. It's like, I'll do something and then something else fruitful will kind of come from it. And I've always been a person that kind of likes to follow that and kind of go with that and sort of nudge it and see where it goes. You know, and yeah, that's good. I guess kind of where all of these pieces have sort of landed on. And then now I'm kind of realizing, well, hey, like, I do this. Like, when I'm with my clients at the gym, you know, a lot of the time we're not just talking about what's going on for them and their health wise. We're also talking about them and their relationship wise, or in their work wise, or, you know, how they're balancing everything else, because a lot of that stuff shows up in the body. And vice versa as well. So a lot of the time with business clients and that sort of thing, it's okay, well, we're not just talking about the business, we're also talking about you and your health, because if your health is suffering and you're not getting enough sleep, as you'll find out for those who read Why We Sleep, you know, you're not going to be able to think clearly, and you're not going to be able to understand, you know, be able to put the pieces together, because your brain is literally eating itself. You know, so yeah, I think it's more of one of those things of, you know, there's probably a traumatic conversation that happened to me just about the right time. And then, you know, doors just kind of continued to be open for me, which is really quite lovely and quite really kind of grateful for it. But, you know, at the same time, like I said before, around that hustle muscle, you know, it's not like I sat on the couch waiting for things to happen and just kind of wished. It was, you know, it's about being actively involved. It's getting out there and doing it. It's trying it. It's failing. You know, I don't really believe in failure. I believe more in like learning. So, okay, this didn't work. Let's try a different approach. You know, and then that kind of leads to where we are today.
Absolutely. Yeah, that explains it so well. And I can tell you're very passionate about it, which is cool, because you've landed in something that you're passionate about and you can help others along the journey, which is great. In terms of that specific coaching, what can people expect from you if they were to contact you and say, hey, Tom, I'd really love to do some coaching with you? What can they expect from their first session with you?
Oh, well, yeah. So typically, like, well, you know, you sort of, we'll do a deep dive, and sort of, you know, once somebody's signed on, we kind of find out if I'm the right person for them, or if they're even a client that I want to be working with. And, you know, and if we gel, then that's cool. And then we kind of go into a bit of a deep dive session, and, you know, that might take 2 or 3 hours in terms of actually figuring out where they're at, where their business is at, you know, and then kind of moving there. It's focusing on, okay, well, what are the issues that we're dealing with? And then obviously sort of coaching through it. So part of, in terms of the business coaching and consulting, you know, we're sort of there coaching the person, I would say, and then consulting on the problem. And obviously there's, you know, I'm not a jack of all trades. There's, you know, problems and areas in business that I'm not necessarily proficient in. I might know enough in, but then that's, you know, obviously sort of where being able to refer out and kind of go, okay, well, actually, let's get this person in, or this would be a person that I'd suggest you talk to, or find somebody like this. And then, you know, the client might have somebody like that in their circle. But it's really around kind of honing in, back in on the person, and helping people to, you know, sort of expand their awareness, because the answers are all within us. You know, the answer is always within us. It's there. We've just got to be able to ask the right questions and have that be unlocked and brought forth. And a lot of that, you know, sort of that realization and stuff doesn't, you know, we might have some breakthroughs and stuff within a session, but then it's once you kind of have that thought, and people might even do this from even just from listening from these Ice House podcasts, you know, they'll sit there, they'll pick something up and they'll go, oh, that's a new perspective. That's something I haven't thought of before. And then just as you said before, even at the start of this around, you know, somebody else telling you a week or two ago about what the book, Why We Sleep, it's like, now you start thinking about this and then now it's popping up and okay, well, maybe this might be something for me to pursue. So, you know, and then it's in that application. So once we obviously sort of coach the person, then it's kind of going, okay, well, you know, what are the action steps? And I think kind of one of the things that we do, especially I've been guilty of this in the past, is trying to do too much. Hell, I'm still guilty about it now. Like even now, trying to do too much. Yeah. So even with my coach, you know, she's sort of talking to me. She'll give me homework and she's like, okay, well, this is what I need you to work on. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, right, oh yeah, this is the basic stuff. This is the foundation things, you know. So it's okay, let's get that right. Let's, you know, obviously have the plans and the anticipation for what's coming 10, 20 steps ahead, but we're not going to get there without being here and being present now, you know? So, you know, helping people kind of find what is the right action and what is the action that feels good to me. And typically speaking, you know, we're going to line that up with the person's values. You know, cause I think that's one thing that a lot of people miss out on. They don't have that. We're not necessarily taught, okay, well, what are the things that are true to my values? And that's, a lot of the times where there's conflict and conflicts gets in the way of relationships, whether they're personal relationships or business relationships, is because somebody else has got a different set of values to you, but you might not even know what your values are. Mm. So really understanding that stuff and then being able to kind of to come at, you know, this new understanding, this next level of progress from a perspective of what's true for, you know, me or you as the person or as the coachee, from your value set. And then that's also going to help bring more joy, more alignment, more understanding and clarity of the vision. And that's where you start getting momentum, you know? So but that's one of those things that it might take 1 month, it might take, you know, 12 months to come to get there. But, you know, because there's also that other side of it of, you know, if the person isn't necessarily healthy or kind of looking after themselves, then we also need to get that, you know, get that alignment first in the physical being. And that's, again, that's where I'm really grateful that I have that background in health coaching, because sort of understanding those, the holistic health principles, which is actually something I talk about in my Executive Chill webinar, which is something that I do at the end of each month, the last Friday of every month, you know, providing those, understanding those six foundation principles. And because once you understand those and you can get healthy, then you're able to access your intuition a lot better. Your body is functioning a lot better. You're sleeping a lot more, but you're also fueling your nutrition a lot better as well. Maybe you're starting to meet your exercises. We talked about, you know, at the start around, you know, a lot of people, you might just go in, you got half an hour. So you think, oh, okay, we'll go smash it. We'll do a boxing session. I'm just going to kill, you know, blast myself, kill myself. I want my PT to make me feeling sore. But actually, that's the last thing that the body needs. And maybe what you really need is a yoga session, or maybe you don't even need a yoga session. Maybe it's, you know, go stand on the outside in the grass barefoot and just breathe for a little bit, do like a, you know, Qigong type meditation, or, you know, just something that's really kind of bringing that down. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's that holistic stuff. It's kind of really piecing it together. But, you know, the idea is really helping the person understand them, understanding how they fit within the business, and then understanding sort of how that growth is going to build that momentum into the future and sort of help. And then, and from my perspective, in my opinion, that's the best way to help people get from where they are to where they want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. That's gold. And like you said, it's individual, you know, it's different for each person. And so that's why there's so many facets and elements to what coaching could be, because it's so specific to each person and what's going on in their world and the pressures and responsibilities. So yeah, very well explained. You mentioned in there around, you know, seeing entrepreneurs thrive in business without the burnout. Mm. Is burnout something you've personally experienced, or anyone around you that you've seen it had an effect on, that is why it's so close to your heart?
Yeah, so well, so Richard, so you know, when Luke and I so Richard, when I was working with Richard at the gym, that was one of the things that he, this is prior to Tom and Luke, you know, that was one of the things that he complained a lot about. So because he'd you know, had his juice businesses. And I mean, he'd been, you know, doing entrepreneurial things since the sort of the mid 80s, late 80s. And always in food service, but he was a very hands-on director. Yeah. His passion lies in, you know, in creation and product innovation. So, you know, he'd be the guy that's there creating the product, developing it, you know, got a bit of a background in food tech as well. And then he'd be on the production lines, making sure that it's done. Meanwhile, he's doing all the orders late at night, you know, and there's all of this stuff. So when he came to me, you know, and then there I am going through, I guess, my hippie phase in my mid-20s with my big beard, my long hair, coming in, you know, working in the gym with my sandals on.
Brilliant.
As this is sort of just before the Vibram five-finger toe shoes. you know, and he looks at me and he's like, oh my God, who is this guy? But, you know, understanding him and how, what had led to, you know, being able to point out to him, well, like, it's this lifestyle stuff that you've got. Like there's no amount of work that we can do here at the gym that's going to help you unless you get this lifestyle stuff sorted out. Like, unless you start going to bed on time or waking up at the same time every day, or, you know, get your hydration in. So that was one of the things as we went through the Tom and Luke journey, you know, that I would always, I'd still kind of be there. Like, I was no longer his sort of personal trainer or his health coach at the time, but that would still be a big part of those conversations that we would have, was kind of going, hey, like, you know, making sure we're checking in on each other. Like, don't get me wrong, you know, at this, when you're starting a company, you have to be, as I said before, with that hustle muscle, you have to be in there working it and pushing it, but you also have to understand, okay, well, how long can I do this for? You know, and being able to recognize, okay, this area over here in my life is starting to fail. For me, I remember one Easter weekend when I was living in Auckland, when I was running the distribution company in Auckland. We, like, initially with Tom and Luke, when we got into the supermarkets, we just had shippers of 60. So we'd have our little 70 gram bags of snacker balls, and we'd have them in shipper boxes and cartons of 60 units. And so one Easter weekend, we were doing, that was the time that we were doing a transition from a packet of 60 down to packets of 20. And the reason why we were doing that is just more for efficiency for the stores. And so we could get, because we had a lot of retailers that wouldn't take our products because 60 units is quite a lot to invest in, you know, especially if you're a small dairy owner or something like that. Yeah. So we were transitioning everybody to 20 units. But, you know, this particular Easter weekend with my girlfriend at the time, we'd had a bit of, you know, back and forth and some, you know, it was quite hectic, you know, and then, but then at the same time, like, I had this pressure and this things that I had to do for work as well. So we're arguing at home, not sleeping. And then I'm trying to change all of these pallets over by myself in our storage unit in Auckland. Over, you know, the course of sort of 2 or 3 days. Fortunately, it was a long weekend, so you know, I was able to kind of have a little bit extra time in there to do it. But, you know, it's I think that was the first night I ever had a panic attack. And I genuinely thought, like, I finished the work, it was quite late, probably around maybe 11:30 on sort of an Easter Sunday night. And I just remember I got back, I finished up, closed up, and I got into my van and I started driving. And because before I'd left to come down and do this stuff, you know, we'd had a big argument. So I was already kind of in this heightened state of adrenaline. Yeah. And then just getting this work done and being down on the ground, a lot of moving, probably not enough food, definitely not enough water at the time. And then my heart I just got this whack in my chest. And I freaked out. My heart went up. Like, I started getting, you know, tingles down my arm. I started thinking that I was having a heart attack. So I called an ambulance. I drove my car out of the storage unit because I thought if the ambulance comes here, they're not going to be able to get into the security gate of the storage unit. So I parked out onto the street, and then I called the ambulance, told them where I was, and then I got out of the van. I lay down cold concrete, and I just remember sitting there going, like, this is not worth dying for. Like, this is not worth dying for. Like, what the hell am I doing? And anyway, they showed up. The ambulance showed up, and then they pulled me in. And by that stage, I'd already kind of calmed down because I was able to pull in some of my breathing techniques and just, you know, slow things down, breathe,
Totally.
Also kind of had the idea though that, you know, if I'm going to go into hospital, then I shouldn't drink any water in case I need to have surgery. So battling this kind of this idea of dehydration, but just again, trying to just slow things down, slow, calm.
Yeah.
And then probably about 10 or 15 minutes with the ambulance people, you know, then all of a sudden you feel safe because you've got all the noises and the beeps, you're on the monitors and stuff. You start to feel more safe, you know, but even I remember the ambulance staff, they were really great. And I remember her, you know, sort of asking me about like, well, what's your work stress like? And I was like, well, actually, like I'm here right now doing this. I've just finished doing this. And she's like, okay. And, you know, and she was the one that mentioned to me, like, you know, that, you know, I'm getting coached here by an ambulance officer, you know, somebody who deals with this stuff. Probably, you know, I'm not going to be the first person, you know, but even she was like, look, like, I think you probably just need to take a look at your workload and just, you know, find a way to kind of balance that out a little bit more. You know, and that really hit me. And I kind of sat there going, like, she's the mirror to me. And I'm sitting there going, I know this.
Yes.
Here I am doing it. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I think I had another 3 panic attacks over the following 2 years. But, you know, sort of since that time, it's really kind of understanding those fundamental principles of like how to be healthy and how to avoid that and recognizing, like, you know, when this, either you can look at it a couple of ways, you know, you can look at it like when the bucket gets too many holes in it and your juice starts to get low, or maybe even when your battery levels, you know, you need to plug in and recharge your battery to come back up. You know, but it's also, you know, or just when things start getting wobbly, you know, but I don't think we need to get to that level of extreme. You know, we can avoid that. It doesn't need to building a business should be fun.
Yeah,
exciting. Obviously, sort of funnily enough, you know, from a physiological point of view, the same, you know, the feelings that you get with anxiety and that sort of thing are the same effects that you have with excitement. So sometimes anxiety and panic attacks can be brought around with excitement. You know, it's sort of the idea of stage fright for an actor or somebody getting up on stage or somebody who's afraid to speak, but actually, like, it's excitement. But if you can learn to turn that around and be curious about it and kind of sit into that, then that can be sort of where the magic happens. But you know, at the end of the day, like, I just don't think that business owners, CEOs, I personally don't think, like, there's always going to be some inherent pressure in that top, and that's good. But when it starts to get too much, man, it's bad, because then that's just when you're starting to get turnover of people. You know, I mean, we've had a lot of businesses close down over the last couple of years in New Zealand, which is just, you know, not great. With those people and those businesses that are shut down now, they've got different pressure, you know, probably wondering where are we going to get money to afford our mortgage and all that sort of stuff. So then now it's kind of, it's on that other end of the scale, but getting it back and finding that routine, finding that place of safety, again, starting with those foundation principles of health, and then being able to sit in your own values, being able to recognize what's good for you, what brings you that happiness, what where's your passion, where's your juice, building things back up through that, you know, that's where you can kind of get things going. Because I think as well, a lot of the times there's a lot of people out there who, you know, they'll have a business, you know, they get an idea for a business, but it doesn't actually sit in alignment with them as a person, but they're doing it for chasing the money, or they're doing it because somebody else told them. Well, it's that classic case of like the, you know, somebody going to university because their parents wanted them to do this thing, or there's pressure on them from doing that. Meanwhile, here I am talking about how my dad told me that I needed to get a plan B. Mm. But the plan B's led me to this deep awakening within myself and this deep understanding. So, you know, that's the thing. Mm. I think we don't need to have burnout. We don't need, we can keep it all going.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that element to your story. It means so much and it really does bring such a depth to this conversation. And knowing, you know, where that desire to support other business owners comes from at a deeper level. So thank you for that. Last couple of questions. We'd love to hear what does success look like for you when it comes to your coaching? What's a point where you go, awesome, that was either a successful engagement with a client, or just in terms of your career journey, what does success look like?
Oh, that's a great question. yeah, you know, it's interesting because, like, you know, I've got such a variety of clients. Like, obviously, you know, there's business coaching stuff, and those clients will get some different results. But it's really the people that I work with down here at the clinic. When you get just a little fraction of an insight into something,
yeah,
and somebody goes, oh, that's what this is. Oh, that's what this is. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then they can kind of put these pieces together, and you're sitting there going, like, you know, just like you've just done. It's just, you just ask a certain question, or you've just kind of flipped this little thing, or you've helped them walk down a story. But, you know, the biggest success and the biggest thing that kind of really gets me juiced up is, like, so, you know, when I get clients that don't, like, and there's one client in particular that I'm working with at the moment. I mean, she started with me almost a year ago. And when she came to me, she was very nervous, very apprehensive. I did it, you know, as part of my networking. Again, it's that hustle muscle, going around and physically visiting people. I walked into her practice and I said, hi, I'm Tom. This is my business, Pelvic Pro. This is what I do. You know, I'd love to build a network and referral with you. You know, and then she jumped in and she went, actually, you know what? Like, I want to test you out. Like, I'm going to check this.
Nice.
And she hadn't exercised in almost 10 years.
Wow.
And very nervous. The last trainer that she had was very pushy, didn't really listen to her, didn't really kind of, you know, just kind of, I don't like using the phrase, but it's, you know, it's very kind of like cookie cutter exercise programs. Whereas, you know, like I'll take her through the check system. You know, we go through, we've got a series of questionnaires, we've got physical assessments, but there's also like essentially a system that we work to, which is sort of based around, you know, when it comes to the physical body, it's okay, we want to build flexibility and mobility, we want to build stability from the core out, then we want to build strength, then we want to build power, you know. But a lot of trainers out there kind of miss that foundation thing and they just go straight to power. So like, let's get everybody in the CrossFit gyms and throwing everything out. You've just had a baby, that's cool, come lift some things over your head, you know. You know, go do it, go try it for yourself. But you know, this is kind of this build-up system, right? And like, sorry, not bagging on CrossFit gyms at all.
No.
Loves a good CrossFit session. But you know, but she came from that, and then probably within about 3 months of working with me, I said to her, hey, like, have you noticed what's going on? And she was like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I'm getting messages from you now about how excited you are in getting up and doing your exercise in the morning.
Awesome.
When I can't make our session because I've got something else that I need to do and I need to move it, you're messaging me, telling me how, you know, like, obviously it's fine, but also like, morning, I'm really looking forward to this session. Coming from a person who, you know, 12 months, it was maybe December. I was sort of having this conversation. It was just as I was getting back to work after my boy had been born. You know, and so that's the kind of thing that really kind of lights me up, because that's when I know that we've really kind of changed somebody and they've got that habit for life. So it's like, it doesn't matter what they were going this way and now we're doing this, we've changed their trajectory a little bit, and that to me is really lovely. It's a wonderful feeling.
That's so exciting. So it's like those aha moments up front and then the transformational change, where you can see long-term change happening in your clients. It makes so much sense. I love it. I feel pumped up after this. I'm like, yes, it's great. I don't think I'll be doing a CrossFit class after this, but maybe a nice walk along the beach. But no, it's very, very cool. I have absolutely loved this conversation, Tom, and getting to know more about your founder journey and now the real passion you have for supporting others in that holistic approach. I'll definitely add some information about Executive Chill, your webinar, into the information of this podcast. That would be great. But for any listeners that are wanting to learn more about you and your offerings and maybe just get in touch, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, it's a horrible thing. I don't even really know. In terms of if people want to email me for business coaching, they can just email me at hello@tomdorman.com. That's Dorman, not funny. When I was a doorman in the bars and in the clubs, because they'd be like Tom Dorman the doorman, but it's a different
not now.
If people are in Wellington and they want to come and check out the clinic, it's just Pelvic Pro, and we're based in Stokes Valley. And I should actually do a shout out because I'm doing, we've got the Baby Expo here coming up at the end of May. I think the weekend of the 21st and 22nd? I should know that, of May. And I'm sharing a stand with Jennifer Dutton, who is one of the leading women's health physiotherapists as well. So she and I are sharing a stand down there. So if there's any people out there in Wellington that are listening and they've had kids or they're about to have kids or they're thinking about having kids, then come down and see us at the Baby Expo.
Awesome. That's great. That's so good. That's a lot of ways people can choose how they want to get in touch with you and work with you in future, Tom. That sounds awesome. Thanks for
probably
sharing that.
Probably too many.
No, it's great. It's great. There's something for everyone. But hey, thank you so much for sharing your story and for the time. And I'm sure the listeners have got so much gold out of this conversation. So I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm grateful to be here and thank you for inviting me on.